time to update what's happening in the Devonport Food and Wine Festival. We've been doing this right throughout the month of October, and we're doing it again today with the event chair, Lynn Laycock. Good afternoon, Lynn.
Good afternoon, Martin.
Thanks for your time, as always. Appreciate it. Just to recap a couple of the things this week, I did sort of, one that got my attention when we spoke about it last week was the Apple Day at the Devonport Playhouse. How did that go?
Well, I wasn't there, Martin, but I understand it was very good. Of course, Kate and the team at the Playhouse always serve a lot of fresh fruit to the children. I was having a look on their Facebook website, actually, the other day, and seeing a big, you know, big bowl of strawberries and things like that. So the apples were, I understand, a huge hit. And that's really important because they're grown here locally. They're beautiful. They're economical for families to buy, and there's nothing better to pack in a lunch for children and yourself than an apple. So that's always off to a good start.
Yeah, and they can fill them up so they don't eat so much rubbish as well.
Well, that's part and parcel of what our food festival is about, Martin. I was just sitting here having a think about some of the things we could discuss, and I'm really hoping that your listeners, we can get on board the listeners to talk to their teachers about really pushing these school gardens, because in years to come, if people don't know how to grow a garden, they could have a problem. My understanding is that people really did buy a lot of plants, vegetable plants, and that when during the early stages of COVID. So right. All of a sudden, families were thinking, Martin, well, what if we can't get food from the supermarket, which was a sensible way to think. And, you know, if we're only growing a bit of our own staple food, like pumpkin and potatoes and things like that are really easy to grow. So that is one of the reasons this food and wine started, actually. I was thrilled when I heard all this, and there was a lot of commentary on it, and thinking, well, if we've really got to get these school gardens going, because it's like everything with children, you teach them when they're young. And I know a shining example of this is the Catholic primary school at La Trobe. You drive in and you can see the garden, and they've got the big white fence around so it stops vandals. That's the reason a lot of the schools are not doing it. They told me in the early days when I did go and visit the principals, but because a lot get vandalised. So
it's a shame.
It is a shame, isn't it? And so the kids have got no idea. And when you see little children around gardens, they just love it. They love seeing plants grow.
When you and I were growing up, and we were of a similar vintage, everyone had a backyard garden, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. I can still see my dad sitting in the middle of a veggie garden, picking peas and eating them. The same with baby carrots. He'd wash them straight under the tap. Exactly. That's the way we grew up. And this idea came about with the gardens when I was in Singapore and my daughter lived there and my granddaughter was born there. And I thought, well, how's Samantha ever going to know what Nadine knew and I knew and you did, Martin, about the gardens? Mm. So hence the idea for this. But We need a big push from parents to get out there and say to the schools, now, hang on, this would be really good if you could add this to the curriculum. And most of the schools, Martin, these days have got nice little kitchens. And I know in the early days of this food festival, we did have the CWA ladies cooking a few things in the kitchen for the kids, and they just loved it. And that's important so that they know they can cook healthy food and it's not all about takeaways and junk.
Yeah, I think we all got a bit time, Paul, but we probably got a bit lazy as well. You can make time to do these sorts of things. Still to come, the festival goes right through until next Saturday, but this weekend there's another sea fair at the Marion.
Yes, that's right, down there at Marion Storm, the cafe down there on Joshua Slocum Park. And this is where the permitting, of course, but it looks okay tomorrow.
Oh, it'll be fine tomorrow, yep.
Yeah, there's lots of activities. The kids outside, I know Paul and Claire will be doing a gourmet barbecue, games on the lawn, live music. But you do need to register. So have a look on the Devonport Food and Wine Festival site and you'll see the Marion Sea Fair there. Click on that and there's registration. Because of COVID, we need to be careful. And, of course, if you want to start your weekend off right, you go down to Southern Wild tonight and taste some locally brewed gin, which is fabulous. You can swing around to Drift. They've got seafood platters happening for the next week and over the weekend. Sunday you can pop out to Putterell at the Tranquils and have a high tea. The Don Market's on, the Julie Burgess is sailing, and of course so is the Don River Railway. So there's still a lot to happen, even though we are in the last week. And the Brown Bear up at Mines Air, they're a lovely cafe up there. They're doing specials on Denny's and burgers for us during this month. And they're open Saturday and Sunday for breakfast. And they've got things, Martin, like poached eggs, But you can choose the seared ham with it, the double smoked bacon, petunias, smoked salmon, Longford pork belly. You're getting hungry?
You sound like you're talking from experience. There I am, actually.
No, I haven't been up one of these, but right. I don't know, even though we've cut back on the month because it's COVID with our food, there's a lot of activities online. I've still been around a few. But with their burgers, they've got the Palmy, the Daddy Mac, the Southern Fried Chicken. It's worthwhile popping up there to the Brown Bear
and
having a look. But make sure you book.
Yeah, and on Monday, Anvers Chocolate Royal. That sounds very delicious to me.
What does that conjure up in your mind, Martin? Remember the chocolate royal drink we used to get?
Oh, yeah, right, okay, yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's that. I'd like to think one of your listeners might ring in, because I've been saying this now for a couple of weeks. It sounds delicious, and I know it'll be great, because we know just how good it is out of Anvers.
Well,
I still don't know what it is.
Their hot chocolates are amazing, so maybe it's a new take on that, perhaps.
It could be. Mm. The chocolate royal used to be milk and chocolate topping and ice cream and that, so I'd love to hear from people.
Oh, right. That's what I call an ice.
We can solve that case. It's been worrying me all week, Martin. That's what I find out what it is.
Chocolate royal is what I call a nice chocolate these days, I think, and that's one of my favourite drinks. So I might just wander out there on Monday and see what's going on. From an administrational point of view, how has the festival gone? I know, there's obviously a few less events because of restrictions and things like that, and some events have had to go online. But when you look back on the first 4 weeks, and because we've got 5 weeks in October, the way the calendar falls this year, what's your overall feel about how the first 4 weeks have gone?
Well, look, from my personal point, I think it's gone okay considering the situation we're in. But I won't really know till next week until the team come together. We're having a debrief at the end of next week, I think, and that's next Friday, to see what worked and what didn't, especially what worked online, because that is certainly a way to go for the future, to have more events online. So, yeah, it's a bit hard to judge at the moment because there wasn't a lot of dinners in it this
True.
Year. But one that was very successful, I must mention and thank the Devonport Football Club for coming on board. They did, I think it was called Taste of the World, with all the Sri Lankan and the Indian and Thai foods. And I know people that went and said it was fabulous. So one thing I was going to mention, and it runs into this, Martin, was that for next year, we're very open to hear from your listeners on what they see would be a good thing to add to this calendar, because it's Devonport event staff and a few community members that bring this to Devonport each year. But people forget that if they are in a sporting club organisation, they can put an event on and it becomes a good fundraiser for them, as long as they use local product. We can't have any imported product in that, and to be nice and healthy. So I remember in the first year, Martin, at the rugby club out at the Don Cricket Ground, they did a hungy, and that was fabulous.
Yeah.
It was really good. So they're the things we're looking for, and we're really open to ideas. It's definitely not a closed shop.
Well, you've got the perfect example there with the Flavours of the World, which was run by the Devonport Footy Club, and like you said, it was a huge success, and it's put a bit of money into their bank as well.
Yeah, well, that's what it's about, and as long as we can appreciate where we live in the beautiful agricultural belt here of Australia, and just make sure people are taking advantage of the lovely food and the great restaurants and cafes we've got.
Terrific. Lynn, thanks for your time, as always, this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Martin.
You're welcome. Lynn Laycock, the chair of the Devonport Food and Wine Festival. And so there's still a whole week of events to go right through the end of October. So hop onto the calendar, hop onto the website and have a look at the calendar, devonportfoodandwine.com.au. It's an easy one to remember.